Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you this evening for the hope that we have because Christ has been raised from the dead. And Father, I pray that we would not hold to the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection as a myth, a story, or a legend, but that we would hold on to it as reality and what is coming for us who believe. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit and by your word this evening, that you would impress on our hearts the nearness of our future with you, the thin veil that separates us from eternity with you. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts to see Christ face to face. So, Father, help us to hunger and thirst after your kingdom and your righteousness, after being with Christ. So, Father, work in our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So our text for this evening, one of them, is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 23. Romans 8, 18 to 23. This is God's word to us. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, and by that is creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So my goal this evening is to whet your appetite for Christ and his kingdom. It is to whet your appetite for Christ and his kingdom. Now, through the death and resurrection of Christ, he purchased us and a new heavens and a new earth. So our individual salvation is fantastic and impossible without Christ. But Christ's work also purchased for us a new heavens and a new earth. Easter is not just a celebration of the new life we have and will experience forever. At Easter, we celebrate that God will make all things new through the work of Jesus. So again, my goal is to make you thirsty for Christ and his kingdom. And I believe that God has given us appetizers. Okay, I'm going to use this idea of appetizers. God has given us appetizers now to make us hunger for the end of time, which is when we will have the great feast, so to speak. So I don't want you to miss the appetizers that God has given us, okay? I don't want you to miss them and so not hunger well for the coming kingdom. Nor do I want you to scarf down these appetizers thinking that they're the real meal, okay? Because the real banquet is still to come. This evening, we will look at what God will do in the future, specifically the new heavens and new earth. Then we will look at how that impacts us today. So we have two parts. First, we're going to look at a biblical theology of the new heavens and new earth, and secondly, an application of our future life to our life now. So, two parts. We're going to survey what the Bible says about the new heavens and new earth, and then we're going to apply it to our lives now. Now, don't get scared when I use the word biblical theology. All we're doing is looking at a theme that is through the Bible. We're tracing a theme through the Bible, and that theme is a new heavens and a new earth. And as I was looking at what the Bible says about the new heavens and new earth, I found four different themes or points. And we're going to end in Romans 8 that we read earlier. So four themes about the new heavens and a new earth that the Bible says. And I want you to listen as I read. listen to what God says in his word about what is in store for us. So this is a familiar one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then here's his, I want to hear this. And so we will always be with the Lord. We will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So this idea here in this first theme is that we are going to a heavenly home to be with the Lord. I want to also read a few verses from Hebrews 11. And this talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and what they were waiting for. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland, looking for another home. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So you see the theme? Being with the Lord, going to a heavenly home, it's not here, it's somewhere else. So the hope that is found in these verses is being with the Lord or going to a heavenly home. And when we talk about the future, this is the primary one that we as American Christians think about when we think about it. Because often we're wrapped up in life now, but when we think about our future, we think about heaven, a heavenly home, being with Jesus. We absolutely should think about this and think about it more often, because this is our hope, and we are to encourage each other with these words. But this is not all of our hope. We have more hope than what I just read. There's more hope. And I think we miss the appetizers that God has given us when we leave out the hope of all creation being restored. And the next three themes have to do with creation, the new heavens and the new earth. The second theme then is destruction and recreation. Destruction and recreation. And this is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen to these words. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So in this theme, we see a radical change. We hear fire burning. The elements that make up the universe will be melted, and God will recreate the heavens and the earth. And then this is kind of like the flood, which Peter mentions earlier in the chapter. At the flood in Genesis, God wiped the slate clean and started over. And this is kind of what God will do in the future, wiping out the bad and starting out new. So we have a theme of the future of our heavenly home. But then we also have the theme of a destruction and a recreation. The third theme is God's kingdom coming to earth. God's kingdom coming to earth. Now, when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, That ultimately will be fulfilled here in Revelation 21. So I read these verses earlier. I'm going to read Revelation 21, first five verses again. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, listen to what God says. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Who's dwelling with who? God is dwelling with us. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And as we read on in Revelation 21, we see that the New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven to earth. So God has created a city temple for us to dwell in that's coming from heaven to earth, so that God can dwell with us. So, our final destination is not heaven. Doesn't sound right, does it? When we talk about heaven, we're thinking about eternity with God, and that's fine. But our final destination is on this earth. That's kind of the main point of my talk tonight. Our final destination is earth. If Christ comes with the rapture, you may only spend about 7 years in heaven, and the rest of your time will be on earth. It will be with the Lord, it will be glorious, but our final destination is this earth. And as we go on to Revelation 22, we find out this city that God has made for us has a river and a tree of life. Does that sound familiar to you? Where else is that found? Genesis. The tree of life with a river. So God's creation is a return to Eden, the Garden of Eden, that a beautiful paradise that God created so that he could dwell with humans. What's going to happen in Revelation? God is recreating so that he can dwell with us again. And this beautiful creation, and I'm not sure how it's going to be, it's not going to be spoiled by sin. I just want to stop there. I just want you to turn on your thinking caps. What does that mean? What does that mean? Like, we are going to live here. Maybe not in New York. It's not going to be called New York. But we're going to live on this earth forever with Christ. We might go other places. I don't know. But this is the future that we have. Now, it's going to get more earthy. This is the last one. This a restoration to original creation. A restoration to original creation. And before we go land in Romans 8, we're going to look at Isaiah 65. And I want you to, again, listen to the earthiness of this future. I believe that this is probably going to be fulfilled during the millennial kingdom. I'll explain a little bit later. But here, the future for God's people. God says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. For the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. For my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ooh, it's going to be work. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So you hear the earthiness of this future. We have houses and vineyards and lions and lambs and work. Now, when we pick up things like dying, it's like this can't be the eternal state that we will live in. It's probably talking about the millennium. Now, let's orient ourselves to what that is. After Christ returns with us in tow, he will set up a 1,000-year reign on earth. At the end of that, Satan will gather unbelievers together and attack Christ and his people. And Satan and his forces will be defeated. Then unbelievers will be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. Then it will be the recreation and the new heavens and the new earth. So think about that. We think about, you know, if someone lives 100 years, that's a long time. But Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years, and his people will be living and growing and building houses and doing things on this earth for 1,000 years. Sounds really earthy, doesn't it? Where are you going to live in the millennium? Have you ever thought about that? I know my professor in college says, I'm going to live in Alabama. That's where he is from. He says, the Jews can have Israel. The saved Jews are going to have Israel. I'm going to enjoy Alabama. So you see that, like, this is all of a sudden becoming really real, you know? Like, real, like, where am I going to live next year? Where am I going to live in eternity? So let's, if you're in Romans 8, I'm going to read that text again. And think again. Listen to how creation is described in here. And it almost seems like we're almost there. To the new heavens and new earth. For I reckon that the sufferings, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that is creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. So creation, the new heavens and new earth, are waiting for us and our final salvation. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, that's the fall into sin and the curse, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected it, the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So I like the picture that is used here in Romans 8. So if you think of a slave being in bondage, the slave at one point has tasted freedom. So he knows what freedom is, but he's in bondage. Creation, all creation, is in bondage, and it's going to be set free. What's that going to look like? It's going to look like the new heavens and the new earth. But here, when we have the idea of bondage, there's not much. It seems like the line between now and the new creation is very fine. We almost know what it's going to be like because we live in this earth and we know what bondage is, the death, the pain, the suffering, the tears, and it's all going to be set free. So when we're finally saved, all creation will be remade, and we are waiting along with creation. Now notice what we're waiting for. Verse 23, we're groaning for what? We're groaning to go to heaven. No, it's not what it says. We're groaning for the redemption of our body. We experience life in our bodies, and we're just full of weakness and suffering and sin, and we're just groaning, waiting for us to be made whole and new again. So this is, again, this is earthiness. We will have bodies and the new heavens and new earth. We will walk, we will speak. We're not going to be these souls floating around forever. But when God remakes all things, we will have real human bodies serving Christ forever. So the reason I spent time reading all those passages was to show the earthiness of our future. Often when we talk about our future as Christians, we talk about it like it is unimaginable. Have you heard the song, "I Can Only Imagine"? Well, I think we can imagine, we have to, but there are some things that we can imagine. We think about it's going to be cloudy, it's going to be sparkly with gold and harps and clouds and floating around. Well, the city that God is building will have streets of gold, but that city will be here on earth. And think about this, all creation will be restored. Will there be dinosaurs? Pretty awesome. I see no reason in the Bible to doubt that there will be every bird, tree, and flower and animal that God originally created. Because God made it good, and then it was put in bondage, and then the bondage will be removed, and it will be beautiful. It's going to be more than we could ever imagine, but I think we can imagine it. So I want you to imagine in your everyday experiences what the future is in store for you. So I don't want you to miss out on these common everyday experiences that are kind of like appetizers, whetting your appetite for what is to come. At least for me, in as I read the Bible, I'm like, wow, it's going to be like this, like I'm experiencing now, but obviously even better. Let's say that I tell you, this is, again, it's April Fool's, so don't just ignore this. It's not true. But let's say next Sunday evening, there's going to be a surprise. You're like, okay, a surprise. Like, you have no idea what to expect. You just know it's going to happen Sunday evening. But what if I tell you, next Sunday evening, there's going to be a surprise dessert. And it's going to be a dessert that better than you've ever had in your whole life. Then what happens? You start to get categories. You start to think of your favorite dessert. You know, brownies, hot fudge sauce, vanilla ice cream, more hot fudge sauce, a little cherry on top, whipped cream. You start to think in categories, and you start almost start salivating. It whets your appetite. I will come next Sunday evening. There's going to be something that's going to be amazing. So I think this is with the new heavens and the new earth. Like, we are experiencing now a little bit, in part, what the future is going to be like. And so as you experience the goodness of God's creation, I want you to think about how awesome it's going to be in the future. As we worship together, this is not the point, but as we worship together, think about the worship in heaven and how much better it's going to be. So here are just five ways, again, to maybe invigorate your imagination as we apply our future life to life now. Here's five. Rest. Number one, rest. How many of you are tired? Don't raise your hands. How many of you are tired? Like, that's a common human experience. The Christian view of rest is not that we will sleep when we are dead, but the Bible's view of rest is that our rest is still to come. Hebrews 4, there still remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So this rest that's in the future is not just a freedom from not sleeping enough, because I don't think we'll need to sleep in the new heavens and new earth because there's no night. But this rest is a freedom of peace, calm, and security. In the new heavens and new earth, we will be spiritually and physically rested. No exhaustion, no tiredness, no weariness, no pain. So every time you are anxious, every time you are tired, every time that you wish life would just slow down for a while, God has given you an appetizer. Snack on that appetizer. Because it's really salty. This one's really salty. It cultivates your thirst for a time when you will rest. It will be a better rest than you've ever had on this earth. I don't care if you have vacation all year or in the tropics. It's going to be better than that. There will be no more Monday mornings on new heavens and new earth. The second salty appetizer is pain. And this is, again, used by Paul in other places. This pain is an appetizer. We look forward to the absence of pain. physical, spiritual, emotional, mental pain will be gone. So every time we experience pain, it is sharpening our appetite for the time when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. C.S. Lewis says, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain shouts, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Stop and think. For Christians, it's preparing us for the glory that is to come. Let's think about the relational pain that we experience on earth in our marriages. Think about, we are going to be married to Christ as a church. So if you experience marriage, you're going to have none of the marriage problems and all of the benefits plus more that we cannot imagine. Isn't that encouraging? Or the friendships, the families, the hard times that we go through relationally, none of that. But all the blessedness and joy that we experience in relationships on earth, it's going to be in heaven and it's going to be better. So I think the relationships we have now are just, again, priming the pump for when we will enjoy them forever. Thirdly, work. So God created man to work the garden he created. And we are being brought back to the garden. Okay, a release from bondage, and God's creating a new Eden for us. So maybe we will not work, but I see no reason in the Bible that we will not work in heaven. Along with the worship of Jesus, we will also serve him. How? That we will have to imagine. With work, we will not have frustration and pain and weeds. Work came before the fall, okay? It was before sin. So every time you enjoy work, not just your job, but things around the house or outside, maybe there will be lawnmowers in heaven for those of you who enjoy mowing lawn. Is there anyone who enjoys mowing the lawn? I don't know. But I just, again, use that. Like, this is how God has created you to work. So every time you enjoy work, remember that God created you to do this. Whenever you don't enjoy work, remember that it is the curse of sin that brings this. And remember, that bondage, that curse is going to be broken in the new heavens and the new earth. Fourth, nature. And this is where I think this has really hit me. So sin's curse has touched all creation, but there is some beauty left that testifies to God's glory. Think about what you enjoy about nature. Sunsets, hikes, beaches, birds chirping in the morning, frogs peeping in the evening. We will not cease to enjoy the creation God has given us. It's going to be new, it's going to be different, it's going to be better. There's not going to be sunsets, I don't believe, because there's no more night. But every time you enjoy nature, remember, it's only going to get better. Like, God's not going to take that stuff away from us. All the goodness that God has given us now, it's just going to be magnified in the future. So if you're enjoying God's goodness now, it's only going to get better. And then fourthly, politics. In the last few years, it seems like there has been a lot of political turmoil in our nation. We can easily get frustrated at that politician or this policy or that debate. None of that will be in the new heavens and new earth. Christ will reign. He will reign perfectly. He will make the whole universe great again, and it will be truly great. There will be perfect management of his kingdom. There will be no tax dollars wasted. You know what? There's going to be no taxes either. No more worries about dictators with nuclear bombs. Christ will have absolute and loving kingship over his people. So when you get just irritated at the state of affairs in our country, it's like, wow, Christ is going to reign perfectly, and there's going to be no more of this. So, a few words in conclusion. All of God's gifts that you enjoy in life today are given to you so that you long for the time when there will be a new heavens and a new earth. All the pain you experience, all the longings unfulfilled, are given to you so that you would hunger for a time when everything will be restored. That's the groaning, the pain, the unfulfilled longings. All that is given to you as a groaning, so you wait for the glory that is to be revealed. Our experience of eternity will be much better than we can imagine, but we can imagine some of it because God has given us appetizers. So, this week, take a bite. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and that He will be good to us forever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are preparing for us a place, a new heavens and a new earth. Thank you that you are going to dwell with us forever, and we will be your people and you will be our God. Thank you that you created us for this. So Lord, I pray that you would take these scriptures that I've read and that you would use them to whet our appetites. Give us a thirst for the coming kingdom. And thank you that it's going to be good and it's going to be better than we can imagine. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.